Welcome to Confident You Podcast. Marion Swingler here, your host. Honored to have you with us tonight. Listen, confidence is something that you have to constantly build on. You don't want the enemy to come in to kill, steal, or destroy it. So you must always pay attention to how you're feeling in the moment, how you're showing up in the moment, to make sure that your confidence isn't wavering. And if you find yourself wavering, pay attention and recalibrate and get back to that confident you. Tonight, we are here to talk about finding your purpose. You know, some people find their purpose at different points in their lives. They find their purpose in different things. Some people really don't. I've talked with a lot of people, unfortunately, that say they don't know their purpose. I'm only saying unfortunately in the aspect of they're not even looking for their purpose. Purpose is, it can be one thing, it can be many things. Most people will say you have one thing, you have that one thing that you're great at. But I found that most people who don't search for their purpose, or they're not sure about their purpose, but usually, more times than not, have a lot of different areas where their purpose can flourish, where they have capability, where they have ability, where they have knowledge, where they have gifting. It's up to you to seek that out and to find that information. So tonight we have someone here who believes. This is what she said to me. She said, everything is possible. Joining us, Tanya Stokes. Ooh. How are you, beautiful?
I am absolutely wonderful. How are you, darling?
I'm doing amazing. I'm doing amazing. I just want to give you your kudos right now. Everyone, that amazing thumbnail that you saw, that was all her. When I called her, listen, yesterday, you gotta have good people in your life. When I called her yesterday, she said, girl, I got you. When I showed her what I came up with, she said, girl, I got you one better. And so I just want to thank you. I just want everyone to know how amazing you are. And it just, for me, the layers just keep peeling back. I'm finding out more and more, and you're getting closer and closer and deeper in my heart. And I appreciate you being here for me tonight.
I appreciate you. Thank you for inviting me. This is awesome. You know, first time for everything, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Listen, I can't believe that this will be your first time. Finding out everything that you do is amazing. So I just want you to give just a general overview of who you are and what you do.
All right. First of all, hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. First, let's talk about Tanya, a little bit about me. I'm what you call I'm lost of words. Creative specialist. There you go. Mm-hmm. I have so many buckets that I dip my hands in. It fulfills me to a point where I don't even realize I lose time. So I do some graphic design, as you saw some of my work when you first came onto the channel. I did that in like 15 minutes. I know, right? And then I do a little bit of photography. We have in the background some of my photographs that I share with you all, so you can see my talent. And then I also own a publishing company, and I just got into that about 2.5 years ago. And a girlfriend came up to me and said, "You can do this. I don't want to pay them $10,000." To publish my book. You can figure it out. So that's been an ongoing activity for me, and I'm quite enjoying it, actually. I'm an author of 2 poetry books. One is named My Muse, and the other one is The Truth. I also have 2 other books. They were collaborations, all of which are available on Amazon. Little plug in there, you know. And then also, I love to paint. You know, when you was a little kid, that your parents told you don't write on my wall. I was that kid that wrote on the wall. And now I'm a grown woman and I'm painting on the wall. See? So I have a lot of talent, skills, and I use all of them and I enjoy all of them.
Oh, you use all of them.
I do.
And you enjoy all of them.
I do.
Which one did you start with? Like, what's the earliest age that you remember of all the things you just mentioned? What's the earliest age?
I would say I ended up drawing on my dad's wall. And he was like, don't do that.
That was all you got?
I would always draw and I didn't do much painting, but it was a lot of drawing, still drawing. I was in love with graffiti. I love the way the artists, you know, did their letters, all bubbly and sharp. So that I would say, yeah, I was a little girl. I think I was like 7. Like, it was like, don't write on my wall. And I just felt like I needed a bigger canvas. What's up? Yeah.
All you got. I just want to make sure. Yes. So if this is going to be a little, all you got was don't write on my wall.
No, you know, I got more than that. No, come on here now. Yeah, come on. I got my assets handed to me. How about that?
That sounds like a more accurate tale to tell.
Yeah, I got my assets handed to me big time. I was defeated. Mm. So, you know, from that point on, I scribbled on lined paper. I got in trouble for that too. Because he was like, the lined paper is for school, for writing. What are you doing? Why are you drawing on it? So,
wow. So that is a good point to make. You're in a good place as far as where confidence is. He told you don't draw on the wall. He told you don't draw on that line paper because it's for school. Did that ever deter you from operating and enjoying, as you say, that gift?
For a while it did, to tell you the truth. Because, you know, I didn't have any confidence in what I was drawing. I was just like, oh, this is pretty. I like the way these letters look. I like the way they mush together. I like the way this flower comes together. I like, you know, and I always kept my little drawings to myself. I never, you know, gave anybody an opportunity to actually look at them. The only person that really saw them in the beginning was my dad. Okay. But as I grew up, you know, I started painting. The funny story about the painting, I used to think that painting was boring. Until my girlfriend was like, no, come on over for some wine and paint. I said, who does that? She was like, plenty of people do. And when I tell you I got in there and I was on one picture for a whole 5 hours, that talk about paint therapy. And then from that point on, I began to really enjoy acrylic on canvas and just sharing that with other people. I don't even think I have one original painting in my house. Because I've given away all the paintings that I did. Because I was like, here you go.
So how do you get from there? How do you get from, I didn't want to show anyone. The only person that saw them was my dad. To now, I've given away everything. And I think I only have only one from that original collection.
I think it came with recent years of, I don't care what you think.
Come on here.
And if you like it, you can have it or you can purchase it. I spent so many years worried about what people thought of me. You know, we all go through that little phase. You know, some people are more confident than others, of course. But for me, I really had it bad. I was just like, no, I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that at all. And then one day I was just like, here's a painting I did. Oh, put that on my wall, Tanya. I was like, do you want me to put that on your wall? Yes. All those years my dad told me not to write on his wall. I am painting a mural on someone's wall.
wait. So they don't understand that. You're painting a mural on someone's wall now. That is a project that you're working on now.
Yes, yes, yes. And it
how did that come about? Because he told you don't paint on that wall, don't you?
He did. So my girl, I have this painting of this beautiful woman, goddess, you may say. And she's in my favorite color, purple. She's actually right here on this wall and I'm looking at her. And my girlfriend was like, she's been trying to get this painting for some years now. And I was like, no, you can't have her. I spent 5 hours on her. No way. And then one day she came up with this bright idea. She was just like, hey, put her on my wall. I said, ooh, you want me to put her on your wall? Never done it before, but it is gorgeous. She is coming out beautiful, better than expected, but she's in love with it. I think she sleeps in that room probably every day.
Wow.
But it's an awesome feeling to have your artwork on the wall. So of someone's home that's permanent. Like she can't like take the wall with her.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But you're actually I'm just making light humor of it being your father, because trust me, if I was your mother, it would have been a problem. Don't write on my wall. So it would have been a problem. Just light humor of your dad, because that is the normal role of things, especially in the time that you grew up, that you're not going to do that. I will go down a whole nother rabbit hole talking about the pride of actually owning your own and having your own, and you're not about to just do anything with it. So I'm going to stay on top.
Honey, and plus a military background too.
So we don't want him to come looking for me. I just want to let the record reflect that those were lighthearted indications of humor.
Yes.
I would have had the same response. So,
yeah.
nowadays, people actually, for their children, make walls. They use special paint that they can wipe off to allow their kids. So you're not the only child, even advocating for you, you're not the only child that's ever done that. How would you have felt growing up in a home where your room was painted with paint that you could wipe off?
Oh, that's heaven. Oh my, I would have drew all over that thing. Oh man. And then knowing that I wouldn't get in trouble. Oh,
right. Right.
Every single corner of those walls would be taken up by something. Don't know what, but something.
So that just giving you a different level of confidence in that gift that you had.
Yes.
That would have been a totally different journey. But I believe where you are is where you're supposed to be. And painting is not the only thing that you do. You mentioned your books. So let's talk a little bit about how that came about. What's the title again?
So the first poetry book is named The Truth. And the second one is named My Muse. Yes. So the first one came about over a breakup. It was horrible. I took the time, effort, and energy to write my feelings out on sticky notes and the back of receipts and the back of note papers. And next thing you know, I've had over 60 to almost 80 poems, short, long, or indifferent in about 4 months. And that poetry book sat on the shelf for almost 2 years. Your facial expression is like, why 2 years?
I apologize. I try to make sure that I'm watching that. But I think you've asked the question.
Yeah, 2 years. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I was stuck in my feelings about what people would think about my feelings in my own book. That sounds stupid, don't it? It wasn't until I have a group of friends who are very, 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 very strong. And I'm going to tell you the funny story, because I told them I had this book and they were like, it's been 2 years. When are you going to publish it? So the funny is that, you know, the button, the red button, that the emoji red button, yes, and someone's, yes, pressing it.
Yes.
Right. So that had been going around for quite some time. And they were like, press the button already. Just go ahead and do it. Mm. But I, you know, besides them, you know, sending me the red button almost every single day to go online and just publish it, it was a healing process that I needed to go through. Right. I needed to make sure that my feelings were disconnected from the book. That had a lot to do with it. 2 years on the shelf. And then when I tell you, after I published the truth, 7 months later, the muse came out.
So how do you get from, okay, so I'm going to take this from Brandy. How do you get from being only brokenhearted?
Yeah.
To now I have a muse.
Yeah.
Because usually when people say they have a muse, it's a motivation. Am I reading this correctly?
You are absolutely correct. It was definitely a motivation. Good. And the I'm going to go ahead and break this cover down so you can see it. So this is the muse. And this is my lovely significant other here. But that's me in his eyeglass taking the photograph. So he was my inspiration when I was writing this book. And it didn't take me long to write the book. I think it's about 75 poems and 7 months to publish. It's amazing what a muse can do.
I apologize. I got stuck.
You got stuck? What did you get? What part you get stuck on?
I got stuck. Bring the book back up. How did that cover come about?
Ooh.
That's where I got stuck.
So, I took this picture of him.
Uh-huh.
We were in, I think we were in Puerto Rico. And the picture is not the original cover of the picture, color of the picture. It was a regular color picture with the blue background, with the water looking all nice and serene. And I just threw some graphic design razzle and pedazzle on it, and this is what I came up with.
I like how you say "I just," ma'am. Your razzle and pedazzle is a lot. I stayed up. The original. Okay, so it's a me moment right now. I apologize.
Okay.
Everything I'm about to do, but stayed up for 2 hours and worked on the flyer. I kept going back and forth and trying to figure it out. And I told you how I, you know, just rig things to make them work. It took you all of 15 minutes. So I'm going to need you. Yes, I'm going to need you. You want me to spell it? I'm going to not minimize the beautiful work you did. Please hold that cover back up.
Okay.
The amazing work you did from a photo. Could you actually see you in his glasses when you took that photo?
Yes.
My God.
Yep.
And is that even the whole photo?
That is not the whole photo.
Exactly.
He's on a boat, honey, with the mountains and the water.
So I'm going to need you to not say, I just do this and that. We won't minimize the amazingness of you. We will not.
Touché.
You're amazing.
But I will tell you that I was where you were with the whole, what are we going to call it? Ringing? We're going to put a Band-Aid on it and make it work? What are we going to call it?
Listen.
So I was there. And it was, I used to do everything on my phone. Like, my phone was my best friend. Graphic design, anything you needed, I was doing on my phone. So whatever application, a blurred background application, a blurred photograph application, Pixel photograph application on my cellular device, I was using my cell phone like it was my laptop, and it wasn't. Like, it was Illustrator, and it wasn't. Like, it was Adobe Lightroom, and it wasn't. So it wasn't until I met this wonderful man. His name is Greg. Shout out to Greg. He is my mentor. And one day he was like, stop it. You are better than this. And this is what I need you to do for your work to be pristine. Because you are a professional.
Yeah.
And until you decide to get the training that you need in order for you to get the customers that you would, or work with the customers that you want to work with, and do these things and your work to be known, you're going to need to stop doing stuff on your cell phone. So I went to school. I'm getting my graphic design certificate. We don't have the training on Adobe, Illustrator, InDesign, Photoshop. Now I'm a little bit more fancy with my designs and have the ability to replicate or make my own designs up without having to steal other people's designs, tweak them. Don't do that. Because Greg's going to get you.
Just as long as you know Greg is out here looking for people with a flashlight in the daytime, just like Usher.
Mr. Greg will look at a graphic and tell you in your face, this is not nice. Start over again.
Yes. You want those people in your life, though.
Oh, most definitely.
You want truth sayers in your life.
Yes. Don't blow no smoke up my... Mm-mm. Don't do that.
Mm-mm.
Please don't. Because all it does is it does not make me grow at all. It doesn't. I need to expand and be able to learn more and be better than before. Like this time last year, I'm better than I was this time last year. And next year, I want to be better than I was this time this year. So I'm always looking to get that upper hand in learning new things.
My goodness, better at each year. Okay, ma'am, that is actually not all that you do.
Oh, no, it's not.
You want to go to
the photography next?
Yeah, sure. Yes, that would be a great segue. Seems is how you just graphically designed the cover. Okay, so I moved in closer because you were talking to me, and I said it was a me moment. So now I want you to have a you moment. Can you put that book cover up one more time? I just want everyone to really get a close-up look. It's absolutely beautiful. My goodness.
He was a good sport about it, too.
What do you mean?
Because I showed him the book cover and he was like, oh, wow. Okay, let me take this in. But he's awesome. So yeah. he's like, I'm on the front of a book.
There you are. See, he went from unsure, unconfident. Yeah. I don't even think he was unconfident. I just think he approached it with, wait, what just happened?
Yes. The shock value. They was shocked. Yeah, but he came up with the title. He came up with the title. He used to be like, I'm your muse. And I was just thinking to myself, that's a good title for the book. So he did great. Kudos to him. He gets some. Yay.
Yeah. So yes, please. Now we can go to the photography as if.
So, I know. So I love taking pictures with my cellular device. Like, I think we all start out with our cell phones. And, you know, these days cell phones have great cameras, but not when I was taking photographs.
I was going to say, we all start out with our cell. No, ma'am. No, ma'am, you can't, Sam. That is so not where we all started out.
Yeah.
You're of a certain era.
I started off with my cell phone and being a paparazzi. So I would catch people in their moments. And when I catch them in moments and I show them the photograph, I see the light beaming from their face like, oh, my God, like, how did you do that? I was like, you don't know where I'm going to be. So after, you know, actually falling in love with my cell phone pictures, I've always wanted a professional camera. So I ended up getting one of those. And it was a surprise. And ever since he bought the camera for me, I've been clicking away. Click, 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 click. I've taken a couple of photography classes and just learning the camera and using it the way that it's supposed to be used and knowing and getting yourself out of the auto mode and going into manual and adjusting the aperture and all of that great stuff has become really fun for me. I don't want to say it's a love, but it's a fun thing. And to go back and look at all the 800 pictures that you took of a photo shoot that you did, and you're like, only 20 of them actually look good. But I was able to capture the moment. So you have to take more in order to receive that small batch that are just perfect. And I have an appreciation of that because people, the lighting, the people's personalities. I'm really good at capturing the candid photograph. I really prefer to do the candid photograph. And okay. Majority of my photo shoots have been, do you, like, just be you and let me just snap away. And it's been awesome since then.
Okay. You said that you do a lot so that you can get that small batch of perfect.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, you said you had your phone and that you were taking pictures and you were enjoying that. When you first got that camera, how long did it take you to get to that small batch of perfect? Because when you go to a photographer, they take a lot of pictures. So mm-hmm. there is really that core that is the pristine of everything that you took in that time frame.
So from the time I got the camera, 2 weeks later, I signed up for a photography class. And once I took the photography class and was able to understand the mechanisms, the way it works, I took off. It was like I had friends, Tanya, you got that camera. Come on over to this wedding. Let's go ahead and go ahead. You're the photographer for the wedding. And I said, I am. Oh, okay. We're going to make this work. And I'm snapping away. I got some really good photographs of the bride and groom and the wedding party. All candid, of course. And some of them were, you know, hey, you stand here. Hey, you stand there. But from the wedding that I did to one of the authors that I'm working with, I did her photo shoot twice. That was awesome. You know, I've been taking photographs of people just like, hey, you got a camera, come on. That is how I'm getting my experience, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's been awesome so far. I love if I'm traveling somewhere, you know, that rare occasion you might come across something unusual and to have that, to whip that camera out and do that whole adjustment and snap, snap away. I done took like 50 snaps, but two of them look good. So I'm happy.
Right. But I think it's a part of the process. And the thing is, I think that's a part of the process of life. Trying things one time and thinking you're going to be a one-hit wonder and everything is going to be just perfect. It will wear on you if you're not in of the mindset. It's going to take time.
Mm-hmm. It is. To craft it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's good to be around people that share your passion. If you've got, you know, a handful of people that are better than you, then that's a great environment to be in. If you're hanging around people that are on your level or below you, you need to upgrade your circle, because in order for you to elevate people in your group, you're trying to chase them. You're trying to get where they're going. So I do believe in that positivity all the way around. No negative, you know, you don't even get to ring my doorbell. If you
Come on here.
Yeah, you don't. So
you said that you're around people that are above you. I just want to let you know that I know you. I've seen you. And even though it's been a handful of times, I feel like I know you. I know your heart. Let me say that. I've come to know your heart. You help. You saw what I sent. And my work was beneath you. And you just said, I'm going to help. No. Beneath, in terms of, you said your friends are always above you. And yeah. I just think you supply such an amazing need to people. I just wanted them to know in this instance, today, how you showed up for me. For no reason. You didn't have to. Already had one. It was already posted and everything. So the same way that you say you want to be around people of a certain caliber, you are that person that is of a certain caliber, because you not only did it for me, you said, and then if you're willing, you can take up the opportunity that I'm offering you to be able to let me show you how to do it. So yeah, you can be self-sufficient.
Yes. Because here's the thing. I am a representation of you and you are a representation of me. I can't let you go out like that. Like, if I've got some knowledge, skills, and abilities that I can share, why not? Why am I holding on to it? For what reason? It does not benefit anybody. So if I know it and I can show it and it's gonna gift you and you're gonna take the knowledge, then it's great. That's wonderful. That's what I want. That's what I want for you.
You said something key. You said, if I know it and I can show it, this is the key that you said, and you're going to take it. So what do you do in those instances when you know it and you can show it to them? You can see that they're definitely not in the mindset, the growing mindset of taking the advice and doing things. How do you deal with that if that arises?
So here's the thing. You can't force anyone to take any type of advice from you. You can only offer what, you know, you feel like would enhance them. That's it. If they choose to take it, then that's great. If they choose not, there's no spilled milk over here. I got the knowledge, skills, and abilities to do what I need to do. And if I don't know how to do it, I know whom to reach out to gain that knowledge in order for me to be better. But for those individuals who don't take it, then, you know, eventually they're going to have to get someone else's help to do something, whether it's from me or from someone else. So it doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
Voluntary or involuntary. Listen, you can voluntarily learn this right now before everything goes left.
Yeah, why not? It's free. I'm not charging you, right? But yet you would pay somebody $1,500 to make a flyer for you when your girlfriend or your friend Tanya offered to show you how to do it so that you can do it, right?
Yeah.
And then the only time you should be hiring someone is if they do it better than you. So we've had this conversation. We've had this conversation. Like, you know, I'm gonna show you a little something. Yeah. That way you're not struggling.
Yes.
There's no need to struggle. Not when you have all the knowledge, skills, and abilities right here at your cell phone.
Yes. Right. You were on the phone and we were exchanging information. I'm like, wait, you finished.
Exactly.
I just hit send. So the 15 minutes, I want everyone to understand the 15 minutes she's talking about to put it together. 10 of those minutes was me trying to find the photo.
Find a picture.
To actually call someone else to get the photo. So I just want you to know she is minimizing that gift of hers because she was done. She was waiting for moi.
It's a just to put your picture on there. I was waiting for you.
Because she wanted my picture on there. You should have seen the one that I had. She was shining bright. I'm a little dot. If you look at the last episode, you will see I want my guests to shine. That's just me. That's my heart. I want you to be here.
And I get it.
To feel. And she, as my friend said, that's not how that's going to go. She's not the first person that said it. I just couldn't figure it out. She was like, no
honey, you're just as important as the guest. Come on here.
Yes. So I appreciate you. So one more. And there's so many. Listen, let me tell you, 2 weeks ago, we were putting up a gazebo in the back of someone's home. So when I tell you, this one here has no fear. That is the people. That's who you want in your life. You want people that have no fear, because if they're fear-filled and you have the same issue, that's a problem. If you don't, it's still a let me manage my interaction. But you do it all. You do it all. Yes. So yes, just one more. Just one more. So that people will understand, I'm getting to a point. They probably going, what is the point? I have a point. Go ahead, give them another one. Another one.
So the last one, I believe, is publishing.
Last.
It's a funny story on this one.
The last one you're discussing now is publishing? That's what you're saying,
right? Did we go through? We went the
draft? No. Oh. I'm just saying there's more. You're just discussing the last one that you're discussing on the episode. Go ahead. You keep saying the last one. I'm listening, ma'am.
You are hilarious.
I'm divided attention.
So publishing came about at a good girlfriend of mine who is an author in her own right. Came to me one day and was like, I don't feel like paying these publishing fees. And I'm at work. I'm like, what you mean you don't feel like paying these publishing fees? You are an author, my love. This is what you do. This is a part of the gig. She's like, nope. I think you can do it. And I was like, what is it that you think that I can do, my dear? So she lays it out. And I said, that doesn't sound hard. Let me see what you're talking about. So I think it was like a 2 days or something like that. I came back to her with this laundry list of pow, 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 pow. And this how much this costs. And this how much this costs. Why are you paying how much of that? This is ridiculous. This is your art. You shouldn't have to pay that much money to put your art out there into the world. And I went off. I was like, this is ridiculous. People are getting raped. Not in a sense of being raped, but it just, you know, out of their pockets, like you spilling money out of your pockets. But not to downplay those publishing companies that put you on, like they have a wide range of reach, whereas they can do some things for you that self-publishing may not have that same outreach as they do. So let me put that out there that, you know, self-publishing and big publishing company, they got a lot of more, you know, pull. But if you're just looking to put your art out there, your words in a book and publish it, self-publishing is something that you can do that is not taxing on your pockets. I mean, and then, you know, once I found out all this information for her, I ended up doing her book cover. So, and then once I did her book cover, I published her book. So once I found out that whole, process, I said, I can really do this. This is something I could do. So after that, I was like, well, let me publish my own books. So I published my first book of poems, The Truth, and it was easy. I was like, oh, this is so easy. Oh my God, people need to know. And then I started doing more research about ISBN numbers. I was like, barcodes. And I was like, oh, this is a whole business. Let me get some of those ISB numbers. Let me make my own barcodes. Let me make these book covers, give them the ISB numbers, and let me see what's gonna happen. I have 8 books underneath of my publishing company as of now. in the last 2 years? 8. 3 of which are prayer journals, which are available on Amazon. Look at that plug.
What are the names of them?
It just says prayer journal by Tanya Stokes.
Okay.
It's the words prayer journal. It has a nice little cover on the front of it. And just, you know, pages of devotional and open wide space for you to write. It's a low content books. And, you know, some people like to write in books. So why not write in mine?
Yeah, there you go. There you are.
But yeah, publishing has been fun. Yeah, definitely. The one thing I will tell you about publishing that I'm enjoying is the interaction with the authors, and to get to know them and know that you are a trusted person in their life to take care of their words. You know, that's their babies. And to know that they don't have to worry about me taking their words. But it's been awesome. Yeah.
Ma'am, this has been an amazing evening. You never disappoint. So that's not a thing when talking to you, being in your presence. You never disappoint. I always see you doing.
Yeah, I
always see you doing or discussing doing.
Yes.
Not that you don't. Now, wait a minute. Now, let me just let everybody know she knows how to have a good time. Baby.
Hello.
So it is not all just business.
No.
One more thing you said that I found pretty interesting. You do photography, you do graphics, you publish books, you're a published author, which means you have to write those things. You're a publisher. I'm missing something.
Painting.
And painting. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are 5.
Uh-huh.
Those are just, she is being really, really modest right now. Those are five. I just want to make sure everyone heard you say you were at work when you got these calls. So you're doing all these purposeful things, gifts, abilities that you have. And you were, I don't need to know about the job. I just need to know how you balance that. Oh, no.
So I have a great network. And I tell you, you put something out to, you know, the gallery of wonderful minds, and you pick up that phone and you say, I need X, Y, and Z. And you got 5 people on it in your immediate, you know, I call it the COVID pod. And they're so resourceful that by the time I get off of work, I'm getting text messages. Boom, boom, boom. You can find it here. Boom, boom, boom. You need to do this. Boom, boom, boom. It's great to have that network of people who have your back. And I got one particular friend who's been my best friend for 30 years. You know her.
Hey.
Who, her brain, it, I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
But the things that come out of this woman's brain, and you're like, I didn't think about that. You're like, what?
You don't even say you didn't think about it. You go, who thought of this?
Yeah, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. So her on top of the other 4, you know, it's just great to have a great network. And then, you know, add the significant other in there who has great ideas too. He's like, oh, you know, da, 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 da. And he says it so casually. And I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that. So it's good to have a great network of people around you. One who spill positivity and support, catering to your arts and your knowledge and cheering you on in the background, like, go girl, just go. I'm so proud of you. The words, I'm so proud of you. The girl, you go girl. I mean, it helps you keep you well-rounded and balanced at the same time. So, and you know, I go to work at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. So by the time I get home, you know, it's 2-3 o'clock, I still have the rest of the business day to conduct business. And then, you know, you got to do parenting too, because I got babies. Well, they're not babies anymore. But, you know, it's a balancing act. And then I've learned that for me, I have to take time for myself as well. Like, some, there'll be some days I said, I know you got a laundry list of things you need to do, but this couch and that movie screen look real good right now. Yeah. Yeah, it look real good. So I've taken a couple of nights where I just be like, I'm not dealing with it today. It'll get done tomorrow. And that's, you know, that's what that's about. Balance. That's how I balance.
But even in that, you're not, it'll get done tomorrow and the deadline is today. I know you. I know that's not how you operate. So I just don't want anybody to be, oh, I do it tomorrow. No.
I adhere to my deadlines. Yes. I definitely adhere to my deadlines. And the most important thing is that I give myself deadlines, because I find that when I don't, that project will be going on forever. And we don't want the project to go on forever. So, and I give myself a realistic deadline. Right. So, you know, I get it to you tomorrow. I'm not getting it to you tomorrow. I'm going to get it to you next week, where I've had time to think, brainstorm, draw, give you a couple examples. I give it to you next week. So being realistic with my time is important. So.
Okay. All right. So I've gotten a lesson. And I appreciate you. You were here for me, and I appreciate you.
Oh no!
Listen, this. I want to thank you. You said you were nervous about being here. You're very comfortable talking about the giftings that you are operating in. In all the purposes that you have within you. You're amazing. I want to say why I'm saying the word amazing. Because it's like you have this S on your chest. You're not just operating in your one gift. You're not just going to your 9-to-5 and coming home and going, all right, I'm good. That's it. Tell everyone how working in your purpose, in your gifts, how that makes you feel.
Oh, it's like therapy. I feel at peace. I can get lost in a prime example. I went over to do some touch-ups on a mural. I thought I was going to be there for 2 hours. I ended up being there for 4-6 hours. I look up, it's 5-6 o'clock. She's like, it's 5 or 6 o'clock. I'm like, huh? So it's like therapy session to me. So when I'm doing something that I'm really into, I'm putting that compassion into it. I'm taking care of it. It's like a newborn baby. Like, I want to mold it and make sure that it's not perfect, but make sure I put my all into it. And that, so when whoever sees it, it's like, oh, I can feel the love. It's like when your mama fix you a sandwich and then you try to fix yourself a sandwich, but the sandwich isn't like your mama's sandwich. Even though you use the same ingredients, it ain't the same. It's not the same. So I don't know how to describe it, but I feel at one, like at peace. And so when I told you earlier today, thank you for allowing me to use my creative juices today. That wasn't just a blanket statement. It was, oh my goodness, I get to create. And that wasn't even on the schedule today. Right. Let me get into this. Let me grab this picture. Let me grab these words. Let me make them look good. Let me make this pop a little bit. Let me go on YouTube, do a little research and see what other podcast advertisements look like? Let me see how I can make that thing jump off that page. So that's when I said thank you to you earlier about, you know, allowing me to use my creative juices. I wasn't lying. I was excited in that 15, 20 minutes.
I heard it. I can hear you like, just get the picture. And I'm like, oh, I got you waiting forever. You're like, nope, I'm fine. Keep looking. It's okay.
Yeah,
I'm good. I'm good.
The only thing that was missing was your picture. Everything else was done.
I could hear the genuineness of how much you enjoy working in your purpose.
Oh.
I am honored that you were here tonight. You said you want, when you're finished, for people to see the passion that's in it.
Yeah.
And that is the name of your company. So I would like for you to take this opportunity to let everyone know how they can be blessed by those hands, that mind, that heart.
So you can always reach me at compassionatedesigns.com. The website's right there. And on there, you'll find all of my work, everything that I do, everything that I can do. And if you want to contact me, go ahead and hit that contact button on my website and fill out that form. My contact information is on the website. I'm directing everyone to the website because you can also purchase my books on there as well. My new poetry book, my first poetry book, my two book collaborations, and a little bit of my work is on the website for you to see what wonderful things that I've created. Just remember that everything is possible.
Just remember that everything is, but you are a walking billboard. Just remember that everything is possible. Everyone, I've just put her social media there. She's on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. All of this information will be in the description box. I'm now finding out live that I have shorted her. I need to add the rest of the information to the description box. So I will be doing that as well because I want to make sure that you take the opportunity of working with her. She is really the person that you see here. She is the person that takes the time to take the gift that she has and turns it into a skill. Turns it into a skill by taking classes. So she invests in what she does to make sure that it's excellent. She's talked about every step of the way, every purpose that she's walking in, how she's taken classes to make it better, how she's done research to make it even that much more better, how she has a mentor. Who has a mentor in graphic design? Okay, I just want to let you know. I now have a mentor in graphic design. And you're meeting her right now. It's just to have a mentor to have that community, to have that, and to know that your community is so valuable that they're also your network.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be mindful of who you surround yourselves with. I just want you to know that as highly as she talked of everyone else, like she said, she's on the same level as all of those people. So I thank you for taking the time. I'm honored that you came to be with me today. Pitch hitting in the 11th hour. You found out about it. The 23rd
was it
hour?
Yesterday?
Yes. You found out about 23 hours ago. I appreciate you. I'm honored by your everything. You said at the beginning of this, it's a first time for everything. Were you talking about this is your first time being interviewed for the greatness that's in you?
This is my very first podcast, which is just about me.
Yeah.
I've been on other podcasts where it's been a collaborative effort, but never one just about Tanya Stokes. So it's an honor and a pleasure, and I appreciate you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. All right. So I just, before you go, I would love it if you, not as though you have not been dropping jewels the entire time that we've been live, if you could just give everyone a few confident tips on walking in their purpose, because you know that everything is possible. Help them to understand that.
One tip would be to be kind to yourself. Most of us are not so kind to ourselves. Just need to take the moment to give yourself grace and to allow yourself to have the experience of it's okay to not finish something. So don't beat yourself up so much. Another tip would be to build positive relationships with people that are in your corner that really want to see you succeed. Hanging around individuals that are not a part of your goals, dreams, and aspirations is not going to get you to from point A to point Z any faster. It really isn't. It'll go much faster if you hang around more positive aimed people. Another one would be talk yourself up. So that's something I didn't really do because I'm low key humble. I really don't talk myself up. talk yourself up. You know, I do the whole meditation thing, affirmations in the morning, get those juices flowing. I ams, the you cans, the anything's possible type of feel. So, but those are definitely my top three. Yeah.
All right, Miss Top Three. With those three, you can do, that's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, I apologize. Again, talking to myself. Sometimes it just comes straight out. I don't just think it, but that is a powerful three. That is a powerful three that I am. Listen, when I said Father, Son, when you got to the I said, okay, yes, God statement. That's a God statement. I thank God that you were here with me tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For stepping in and sharing everything that you do and how you do it. To help people to get those tools, tactics, and that thought process to being more confident. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Aww. All right, everybody. Yes. So, yes, I'm sharing the great community of people that I'm now a part of. Everything that she said is what I'm walking out right now. I am surrounding myself with people that are productive, with people that are aspiring to do great things. Listen, most of these people are still working their 9 to 5. So I'm finding that I have no excuse. Hopefully this will impress upon you to, go back to your childhood and remember that thing you did that your parents said, don't do that. And pick up that pen or that paintbrush or your phone. Paint the portrait of how you want your life to be. Thank you for joining us here on Confident You Podcast. Please like, share, subscribe. I think there's a bell to ding. That's going to be my first time saying that one. And if you follow us on social media platforms, I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Of course, you can find me under @MarianSwingler. And this Confident You is brought to you by Inheritance Appraise Global Productions. And I want to thank them for helping me to produce my vision my dream, my reality. Thank you so much. See you next time.